determined, I will not be ashamed to live so the whole world can see. I believe there will never be a reason to lose this confidence, for I have found where my assurance lies. It is not
that, ladies. If we believe, it ought to translate into being committed, right. Amen, and serious about serving God. You don't believe anything if you're not willing to live it, if you're not willing to act upon it, if you're not willing to be faithful to it. You can believe anything you want, but belief, real belief, biblical belief, always translates into obedience, and it translates into faithfulness, and it translates into doing. It always does, because again, we act upon what we truly believe. Amen. That's message number one. Don't stand yet, but 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would, this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No need to stand yet. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've always said that in some ways, Timothy is the underappreciated man of the New Testament. And I've mentioned it in several different messages, how I think he's underappreciated in many different ways. We know this morning that he after coming to know Christ, he became serious. I think we could say that about serving God. He went on to become a vital part of Paul's ministry. He traveled with Paul, helped Paul, carried a lot of Paul's load while they were traveling about and doing the work of God. And it was Timothy, who I've mentioned in the past, who oftentimes got the unenviable job of when Paul went into town and stirred up a hornet's nest, Paul would leave because the town ran him off and Timothy would stay and help the people who got saved, found a church. That'd be an unenviable job. Right. Well, come on, say amen. It'd be a tough job to have. He also, of course, became Paul's troubleshooter, one of his troubleshooters. Whenever heresy would get into one of the churches that were already established, Paul oftentimes would send Timothy back. They said, and he would send him to different places and send him down there to take on the heretics and deal with the problems and get things settled and iron things out. It's a joyous thing being a troubleshooter, you know, and he would get to ride into town and deal with all the problems and take care of those things. He went on eventually to become the pastor at the church of Ephesus, which was one of the strong New Testament churches. And Timothy had such a vital part in the ministry of Paul and such a vital impact on the New Testament churches. It's impossible to tell, but it would be interesting to know how much different the ministry of Paul would have been and how much different our New Testament would be had it not been for the faithfulness and the service of a faithful Timothy during this time. Can't tell for sure, no way to tell for sure, but it would be interesting to know. I can tell you this, if it were not for Timothy and his service, it would be different. Paul's ministry would have been different and the New Testament churches would have been different. And certainly the New Testament would have been different had it not been for the impact of that man. Listen, one faithful servant of God can have and make an impact on many things and in many different areas. And so don't think that we don't matter. It does matter whether you serve God. Yeah. Listen to me. It does matter whether you serve God. And it does matter whether you're faithful or not. You say, well, I'm not doing much and it doesn't seem to matter. Who knows what could be happening if you would get it in gear and serve. It makes a difference what we do and how we serve. And Timothy certainly made a difference as well. But Timothy wasn't always Timothy. Oh, he always had the same name, but he wasn't always the Timothy that we read of. He wasn't always the servant of God that we read of. There was a day when Timothy was not the Timothy that we know of. He was like every other person who's saved. He had to become the person that he was. And it never seems to click with some people that when we read of the lives of men like Timothy and others, that they were not always that man. Right. That they too, just like you and I, had to make the decision to become the servant of God that they were. And as we've talked about the pursuit of God, you this morning are the servant of God that you have chosen to be. You are as faithful to God as you have chosen to be. You are as important to the work of God as you have determined to be. You're as vital part of this church as you want to be. You are the person of God that you desire to be. And Timothy became a Timothy, certainly because of the work of God in his life, but because he submitted himself to it and became the servant of God that he desired to be. And sometimes we look at men like Timothy and we think to ourselves, well, you know, they're this or they're superhuman or they're something. And it doesn't click to us that Timothy had to consciously make the decision that this right here is the man of God that I want to be. And then he strove toward that and grew toward that and made the determination to be what he wanted to be. Now, the same thing's true of people sitting in any church. When you walk into a church and you see people, there are always people in a church who are a vital part of the ministry. You would to God that everybody was a vital part of the ministry, but there are always those people who are a vital part of the ministry and are busy for God and serving God. And people oftentimes look at those people and fail to consider that they were not always the servants that they now are. That just like everyone else, they had to make the determination to become the person that they are, or they had to make the determination to become the servant that they now are. And when it comes to people who are serious about serving God, people oftentimes look at them and have this attitude. Well, you know, if those people had my life, if they had my schedule, if they had my job, if they had my family, if they had my circumstances, if they had my situations, well, then they wouldn't be able to be what they are. Well, I've got news for you. We have your job, and we have your family, and we have your circumstances, and we have your schedule, and we have your problems. We have all of that. The difference is that we have determined that we are going to be the servant that God wants us to be. I still submit to you this morning that you are the servant of God you desire to be, regardless of your schedule or your problems or your efforts. Nothing in your life is not something that is common to every man. It's just a matter of whether we've determined to be who and what we are. It's insulting, I think, to look at people who serve God and say, well, if they had my schedule, no, we are the servant that we desire to be and want to be. That's exciting. Say amen. Amen. All right. Here's the truth. We're all born lost. We're all born cut off from God. We're all born with a sinful nature that has very little interest in the things of God and certainly very little interest in serving God. And then someone comes along and tells us about Christ and about what Christ did on the cross to deliver us from our sin. And if we've done so, we receive that. We accept what Christ has done for us. And as a result of seeing ourselves as God does and accepting Christ into our life, God works the miracle of the new birth in us through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and He regenerates our heart and changes us, makes us into that person we never were before, gives us a desire then to be a servant. And if you're saved this morning, God has created within you the desire through the work of the new birth to be a servant of God. You say, how do you know that? Because if He did not, none of us would be servants. We desire to be servants because He creates that desire within us because it's not natural to us. Now, once that desire is created, then we have the choice of whether we're going to pursue it or not. And when we pursue that desire, God will make us the servant that He wants us to be. That is why we are the servant that we want to be. Because God's created within us the desire to serve Him. He's created within us the desire to be a Timothy. But whether or not we become a Timothy or not depends completely on whether we're willing to submit to Him. Whether we're willing to follow His leadership. Come on, say amen if you believe that. Don't just look at me. Say amen if you believe that. He wants to create within us the desire to be a Timothy, or has. Now it's a matter of whether we're going to submit to it. You will become what you want to be for God. No matter how much you mope around and make excuses, we become what we want to be for Him. We always do. Why is it that in Paul's day, there were those who didn't become Timothys? Some of those people who Paul had interaction with didn't become a Timothy. Demas, for example, and some others actually went back out into the world and quit serving God altogether. And some did. Why is it today that some people come to know Christ and go on to become a Timothy in some form or another, and others never do much of anything with their saved life? Why is that? God creates within us the same desire. So why is it that we don't go on and all become what God would have us to be? Well, there's several answers for that, I guess, but we're going to look at one in particular this morning. So take your Bible, if you haven't already, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and now you can stand, if you will, that you've rested up a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want you to notice just a couple of verses, and we're going to come back to these near the end of the message, but we'll read them to get us started this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. It says this, "But thou, O man of God," speaking to Timothy, "flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fathers, who come to you this morning, I pray that you'll be with us as we look into the development of Timothy and begin to get some understanding of why it is that he became the man of God that he was. I pray this morning that it would be, if we're saved today, that it would be the desire of all of us to become the servant that you'd have us to be, that we all would desire to become a vital part of your ministry. It's hard to understand why someone would get saved and receive you as their Savior and then not have a desire to be a vital part of your working, a vital part of all that you do. So I pray this morning that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to understand how that developed in Timothy and how Timothy developed in his life, and that we would apply it into our own life as well. I pray if there's one here today that's without Christ, that they would certainly come to know you, and that we might have an opportunity to tell them about your son or to establish a Bible study or in some way help them move toward eternal life. But we pray that you'd speak to their hearts as well. We thank you for your word. Thank you for these people who have come out today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. The books of 1 and 2 Timothy, there are two of them, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and these books were not written by Timothy, they were written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. And if you're a Bible reader, then the relationship between Paul and Timothy in the New Testament is no secret. Paul was the older of the two men physically, but more importantly, he was the older of the two spiritually. Paul was older spiritually, meaning he had come to know Christ earlier in his life, and so he's quite a bit older than Timothy was spiritually as well as physically. And when we get to the time in which these two books are written, you need to understand this. When we get to the time in which these two books were written, though younger than Paul, Timothy at this point in his life is a full-grown man. He is by no means a boy in any fashion, a full-grown man with his own life when Paul writes to him in 1 and 2 Timothy. He already had his own ministry. He was a troubleshooter for Paul, as we've seen. He already began to pastor a church near the end of his life, and so he was in every way or in every means or in every way of thinking of it, a full-grown man. Now, despite the fact, are you tuned in?
Amen.
Okay, despite the fact that Timothy was a full-grown man, a strong worker in the Lord's work in his own right and a pastor, when you read these two letters, if you'll pay attention, it's kind of fascinating how Paul speaks to him and how Paul talks to him when he writes to him in these two books. The Bible says, or we know four times in this book, Paul addresses him as son. And four times in this book, Paul says, "Hey, son, listen up." And he talks to him using the term son. Now, in chapter 1, verse 2, Paul uses it there as a term of endearment. He talks to him as my beloved son, who he was happy to write to and who he was happy to talk to. Look over in chapter 1, verse 18. In chapter 1, verse 18, though, Paul uses it a different way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." Do you understand the difference? In verse 2, he uses it as a term of endearment. In verse 18, he uses it as a term of instruction. We had four kids, as most of you know. Two of them were boys. And when they grew up, my sons knew the difference. When I referred to them as son, they knew the difference between when I was using it as a term of endearment and when I was using it as a term of instruction. They knew the difference when I came home and said, "Hey, son, good to see you." And they knew the difference between that when I came home and said, "Son, mom says we need to talk." They knew one was a term of endearment and one was not. They knew when I was using it in an endearing way and when I was saying this, "Son, don't ever do that again. Son, always do this. Never do that. Listen to your mother. Act this way. Stop doing that. Quit treating your sisters that way." They understood the difference between the son of endearment and son of instruction. And when Paul writes Timothy in this book, at least four times or several times, or actually throughout the entire book, Paul addresses him as son. And though he uses it at times as a term in endearment, there are times when Paul uses it as a term of instruction. Now get this in your brain this morning. We're not talking about a father talking to his little child. Timothy is a full-grown man. And as Timothy is a full-grown man, Paul comes to Timothy and says, "Son, listen." And he instructs him out of the Word of God concerning the things of God using this term of instruction. Look, if you will, in chapter 1. Paul many times does this and establishes himself as the older of the two spiritually. Not only does he do that, but he also establishes this thing of instruction. He actually gives Timothy commands and instruction and concerning things that he should do and things he shouldn't do. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 18, where we read a moment ago, or chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have putting away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck." Then go over to chapter 3, verse 14. And he says this, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Then he goes over to chapter 4 and verse 7. And he says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Then he says in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Verse 15, "Meditate on these things." Verse 16, "Take heed to thyself." Then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." He gives him instruction concerning relationships. Then in verse 21 of chapter 5, he says, "I charge thee before God." And then he goes on in chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness." And he gives him all these instructions. Now, what I want you to see is this, that as Paul talks to Timothy, he gives him all these instructions and he speaks to him in the fashion that he does. Here's the point. Even though Timothy was a grown man who had a life of his own, Timothy willingly received instruction from Paul out of the Word of God. And even though he was a full-grown man, Timothy was willing to have Paul come to him and says, "The Word of God says, Timothy, do this, and don't ever do that, and don't you ever do this, and you live this way and that way, and I charge you based on the Word of God that this is how you are to live." And so even though he's a full-grown man, are you following? Even though he's a full-grown man, he was willing to sit there and receive instructions from Paul after this manner. I think it speaks highly of him. And I will tell you this morning that this is largely why he is who he was. He is largely why we know today who he was and why he became the man of God that he became. You cannot become a man of God or a woman of God or a child of God or a teenager who knows God unless you're willing to receive instruction. And Timothy willingly accepted that and received instruction. As a matter of fact, there are really three things in this train of thought that Timothy did that made him who he is or was. And the same thing are important today. And they separated Timothy from the non-Timothys of his day. And it's what separates the Timothys of our day from the non-Timothys. And there are three things that he did. They're not deep, not hard to follow. First of all, he was willing to hear instruction out of the Word of God. You sounded very excited about that. He was willing to hear instruction out of the Word of God. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
He was willing to hear instruction out of the Word of God. He didn't feel too proud to be instructed out of God's Word. You know, we have two complete books in which Paul continually said to Timothy, "Son, listen. Son, listen. Son, listen." And over, Paul instructs him concerning those things. Never once do we read in any of these books where Timothy ever had a problem with being instructed. You know, when you look at the whole life of Timothy, not once do we ever read of Timothy ever bucking at or having a problem with being instructed. Timothy understood that though Paul was addressing him as son, that Paul, even in instruction, meant it as endearment. Paul was concerned about his spiritual growth. He was concerned about his spiritual life. And so why wouldn't a man who understands that someone's concerned about his spiritual life be willing to receive instruction? And so Timothy was willing to listen, and he was willing to hear and to receive instruction. Never once do we read of him feeling as if his adulthood was somehow under attack by Paul instructing him out of God's word. Never once do we read of Timothy feeling as if his manhood had some way been insulted because Paul was instructing him out of the word of God. He willingly or was willing to hear. We never read of his feeling the need to rebel because someone was talking to him this way. Never do we read that. He was always willing to hear. We never read of him becoming angry because Paul dared to talk to him this way or to act as if he had the right to tell him anything. We never read of that. Timothy was always willing to hear instruction out of God's word. Timothy not only was willing to listen, but as we read his whole life, you find out that he was eager and welcomed instruction. Come on, do you know, if you know Timothy out of the New Testament, you not get to understand that Timothy was willing. It takes a grown man and a willingness to hear instruction as a grown man to receive that type of instruction from another grown man who says, Timothy, son, do this. Don't do that. Live this way. Live that way. Here's what a family ought to look like. Here's how you ought to handle your finances. Here's how you ought to live your life. Here's what your prayer life ought to be. Here's how faithful you ought to be. Son, listen. As he instructed him out of the word of God. Not only did Timothy, was he willing to do that, but there seems to be an eagerness about him to do it. Certainly I want to hear. If you're saved this morning, why would you not want to hear instruction out of God's word? When our wife comes to us on Sunday afternoon and says, honey, are we going to church tonight? We ought to dress her like Job did. You speak as one of the foolish women. Of course we're going to church tonight. The man of God's going to be preaching the word of God to the people of God out of the book of God. Why would we not go? If God's instruction is going forth, I want to be there because I want to receive it. And I want to hear it if it's being instructed. I can't afford to miss any. There ought to be not only a desire, a willingness to listen, but a desire to listen. That says certainly we're going. Because I want to hear what God has to say out of his word. Say amen. We ought to have a willingness to hear. But then secondly, not only did he have a willingness or an eagerness to hear, but he also had a willingness to listen or to receive. You know, this morning there's a difference. If you've ever had a child or maybe a husband, you know there's a difference between hearing and listening. Well, come on, say amen. There's a difference between the two. Women talk about men have selective hearing. No, we don't. We just listen. We just hear sometimes, and then sometimes we listen. There's a difference between the two. And if you've ever had kids, you know the difference. If you've ever told your child something, they look at you, you're like a post, you know, and you think they're hearing me, but they're not listening to a thing I'm saying. That's when you do that. Hey, look at me. You ever do that? Look at me. You're hearing, but you're not listening. Timothy had a willingness to not only hear, but he also had a willingness to listen. Timothy just didn't want to hear, but he wanted to receive it as valuable instruction and to listen to everything that he said. Paul wanted to be a godly man. See, this goes back to desire. Right. Are we going to go to the house of God and hear the word of God every time the man of God preaches it in the house of God? Are we going to go every time it's preached? Certainly. Why? Because this is what I want to be. I want to be this man. I want to be this type of husband. I want to be this wife. I want to be this parent. We want this kind of home. So we're going to go every time it's preached because we need to hear it. And then that desire drives our willingness to not only hear it, but then to listen to what we're hearing. See, I need to not only just go and hear, but I need to go and listen to what's said. I don't have any doubt in my mind. I don't mean to insult anybody here because it could be here or over the internet. I have no doubt in my mind that there are people in the sound of my voice, whether it's here or on the internet, who are hearing what I'm saying this morning, but they're not listening to a thing.
Right.
And they're going to leave out of here, and their life will be no different than it was when they came. And 6 months from now won't be any different, and a year from now won't be any different. They got saved maybe, and they got to this point, and they're stuck because they're not listening to a thing.
Right.
And they're never going to get any better. Now mope around and talk about how they'd like to do this and how they'd like to do that. Hogwash, if you wanted to do it, you'd do it. You would listen, hear it, and listen and apply it. Timothy was not only willing to hear, but he was willing to listen. They hear, people hear, but don't listen, have no intention of actually ever listening or to anything that's said. And as a result of that, their lives will never be any different than it ever was. These are those people that as a preacher, Sometimes you wonder, why do they come? Because they're not going to be any different. Doesn't matter what you preach. I've said before, you can't preach people into doing anything. Because people are what they want to be. And some people will come and hear, and they'll listen, and they'll ponder on it. Come on, you hear me? They'll come and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they'll ponder on it, and they'll consider it, and they'll think about how it affects them, and how it could affect their family, and what it could make them, and obedience to God, and how they want to be right with God, and they'll consider all that, and listen to it, and ponder on all of that. And they'll go on to be what God wants them to be. And other people will come and listen, and that's all they'll ever do. And then thirdly, Timothy not only heard and desired to hear and listen, but then thirdly, this is all deep, he applied. Here's a thought. He actually did it. He actually took what he heard, he listened to it, understood how he could apply it to his life, understood how it applied to his life, understood why he ought to apply it to his life, and then he actually went out and lived it and did it. It's what he did throughout his... He listened and heard and applied. He actually made changes in his life. Amen. He changed habits. He changed priorities. He changed his schedule. He changed his attitude. He changed behavior. He stopped making excuses for not being what he ought to be and decided, I'm going to be that by listening and applying the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to become the man that God wants me to be. I'm going to become the woman of God God wants me. We're going to have the home God wants us to have. I'm tired of making excuses. We're going to pursue God and His service. And that comes when we hear the Word of God, listen to what's said, consider it, and apply it to our life. And that's exactly what Timothy did. Isn't this deep? And applied it to his life. Look over, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is why Timothy grew to the man that he was. It's why we know who he is today. It's why God used him and blessed him. He was willing to hear, listen, and apply. Matthew chapter 13. Throughout Christ's earthly ministry, he dealt with people who were unwilling to hear, who were unwilling to listen, and who were unwilling to apply. This encourages me. Not that there were people like that, but there were people who even didn't listen to Christ and didn't apply what Christ preached and didn't hear what he had to say. That encourages me when people don't listen. Because if they didn't even listen to him, Brother Nelson, that encourages me that he doesn't listen to me. That they don't listen to me. So Christ, throughout his ministry, had these people as well. In Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 14, Christ is speaking, and he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, look, are you noticing the word? This people's heart. This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Throughout Christ's ministry, he dealt with these people who were unwilling to either hear, listen, or apply. And he spoke of them in this text as people who were unwilling to hear, unwilling to listen. They had the capacity to hear. That's what it means. He that hath ears, let him hear. Those who have the capacity. They had the capacity to hear. If you're saved this morning, if you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you're saved this morning, you have the capacity to hear. You have the capacity to listen. You have the capacity to apply. Yet Christ spoke of those who had the capacity, but it is as if they were as deaf as a post. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't apply. And as a result of that, they never became who they were supposed to become. Christ continually, throughout his ministry, asked this rhetorical question. How is it you, having ears, do not understand? He's saying, how is it you can have the capacity to become the person God intended you to be, but yet look where you are. And the point of his question was, it's because you're not hearing, you're not listening, or you're not applying. Amen.
Amen.
Paul experienced the same thing in Acts chapter 28 and verse 27. He said to the multitude, you are dull of hearing. It's why you are stuck where you are in your saved life. You can make all kinds of excuses. You can talk about how hard it is. We heard it men's recharge. And you don't want to go to men's recharge if you're a whiny guy. And most of us don't care for whiny guys anyway. In my experience, women don't like whiny guys, let alone men liking whiny guys. And it's not. We become the person we want to be when we stop whining about how hard it is, and how difficult it is, and how it's just my schedule, and I just can't seem to get together. I love guys who go, I just don't understand why. I just can't get it. Man up. Listen, hear, listen, and apply. And you will become the man God wants you to be. And you'll become the husband God wants you to be, or the mother God wants you to be, or the person God wants you to be. It is that simple. Hear, listen, and apply. You know how I got to where I am? I've got a long way to go. I heard, I listened, and I applied. You know how many others in our church got to where they are? They heard, they listened, and they applied. And they're still hearing. And they're still listening. And they're still applying. And they're still growing. It wasn't because their schedule allowed them to. It wasn't because they don't like playing ball. It wasn't because they don't like going fishing. It wasn't because they don't like doing whatever you ladies like doing. It wasn't because of that. It's because they heard. They weren't too proud to listen to the Word of God, and they heard it, and they were instructed out of it, and they considered it and said, that would be good for my family. Right. Come on, listen, that would be good for my life. Right. That would be good for me as a man. That would be good for me as a woman. That would make our home better. Mm-hmm. That would make me more pleasing to God. I think I'll apply it. Amen. Amen, and they applied it. And that's what got Timothy where he was. That's what made him who the man that he was. In Matthew chapter 18... In chapter 13, Jesus says there are those people who are dull of hearing. And then you see in verse 16 where he says this, but blessed are your eyes, for ye have seen, and your ears, for they have heard. He says, so blessed is the person who will hear and who will listen and apply. You know what the word blessed means? It's happy is the man. Amen. He says it brings a general state of happiness in your life. If you'll hear and listen and apply, it beats moping. It beats making excuses that nobody believes anyway. It beats conviction and guilt. It's just pleasing to strive to be the person God wants you to be. And the only way, only avenue to that is to hear and to listen and to apply. In verse 18 and following, in this same chapter, is where Jesus launches into the parable of the sower. If you want to know why some people don't become what they ought to be, read the parable of the sower, where he says God's word goes forth, and there were many who wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't apply it, and as a result of that, the seed of the word of God wouldn't take root, and they never become anything for God. You got to hear, and you got to listen, and you got to apply. There is no great virtue, now don't quit coming, but there's no great virtue to coming to church. If you're not going to hear and listen and apply. Do you know that being a church member doesn't make you one notch closer or one notch higher on God's list of esteemed people unless you hear and listen and apply? You know that doesn't do you any physical good to get up and come to church on a Sunday morning unless you're going to hear and listen and apply. Now, I would keep coming so that one day maybe you'll wake up. But it doesn't do any real good spiritually to come if you're not going to hear the Word of God, listen to it, consider it, ponder on it, and then say, that right there would be good for me. I think I will apply it. That's the only thing that makes us grow up in Him and become what God would have us to be, is when we do these three things. And it's what made Timothy the man he was. You want to know why Timothy became the guy that he was, and why the New Testament would probably be different if it were not for him, and Paul's life would probably have been different were it not for him, and the New Testament churches would probably have been different were it not for him? Is it because he was so pious or super spiritual or supernatural? No! He had a willingness to hear, and he listened and he applied it, and it made him the man that he was. And there's not a person in this room that could not be what God wants him to be. There's not a person in this room that could not have a vital impact on the ministry of Christ. Amen. And on the ministry of this church if they so chose to. Right. By hearing, listening, and applying. Amen? Amen. We all still friends? Yep. Amen. Amen. We need to listen and hear and apply. All across this country are people today who will go to church, who will not go to church. And you know why they won't go? They ain't nobody telling me what I got to do. I'm not going down to no church and have some guy tell me what I am and what he thinks I ought to do and tell me how to live. I'm not going there and listen to that. But even as odd are people who will come to church and they'll sit and hear, but they won't listen to a thing and will apply even less. We ought to want to be what God wants us to be. Rather than being a Timothy, they won't hear, receive, and apply because they don't have ears to hear. The truth of the matter is, and I don't have time to get into this morning, so don't get me off into it. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us are listening, hearing, and applying some form of wisdom in our life.
Right. Yes.
Just like we heard at Men's Recharge. You're either listening to the world, or the culture, or yourself, or God.
Right.
One or the other. We need to hear, listen, and apply His Word. Now notice this, and we'll wrap this up. In our text where we started out in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in these two books, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, son, 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 do this, do that, stop doing this, stop doing that. Now we could take the next 6 weeks probably and talk about everything that Paul told Timothy, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. We could probably take the time to do that, but we're not going to, and I know you're happy about that, but we're not going to do that. What I want you to see is that in chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, Paul takes everything that he instructs his son Timothy about and reduces it down to three headings. And if you're willing to hear God's word this morning, listen to it, consider it, and apply it, all three of these headings fit into your life. If you're going to become the person God wants you to do, be, then you've got to fall under these three headings and do exactly what Paul instructed Timothy to do. And they're not difficult and they're not hard. It's kind of a summary of everything that Paul told Timothy to do. And those three things are in verse 11 and 12. And it is the words flee, follow, and fight. Paul says, son, listen to me. And he gives him all these instructions. And then he summarized it all when he says, here's the conclusion. Flee, follow, and fight. And he instructs them under those three. So first of all, notice this. These three commands to Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, he says, son, listen to me. Flee. He says in verse 11 of chapter 6, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Notice how Paul addresses him. He says, do you want to be a man of God, O man of God? If you desire to be a man of God, desire to maintain the position as a man of God, he says, then there are things in this life you must flee. Now in chapter 6, Paul lists a whole bunch of stuff that Timothy needed to flee. And we could take the time to go into every one of them, and we could add to the list, and there are things in other places in the book that Paul also says to flee. But he summarizes it here because of this thought. The idea of the word flee doesn't mean to simply stay away from something. If I come to Brother Pena, I say, Brother Pena, stay away from that. If I come to Brother Pena, I say, Pena, flee from that. That's two different ideas. The word flee literally means to run away from a thing as if your life depended on it. That's the word flee. If you see a bear, you don't just go, I should stay away from that. No, you flee. Or I do. I'll turn in my main card. I'll flee. Amen. I'll run. Like the old joke, you know, I don't have to be faster than a bear. I just have to be faster than you. So, I'm going to flee. I don't just stay away from it. So Paul tells Timothy, if you want to be a man of God, listen to me. Hear what I'm telling you and apply this to your life. There are things in your life that you must flee, that you must run from as if your spiritual life depended on it. You say, what are those things? Well, he lists some of them in chapter 6, but we could summarize it by saying this. He says, if you want to be the person of God that God wants you to be, if you want to be a Timothy, if you want to be a vital part of the ministry, you must flee from anything that gets in the way of that desire and gets in the way of that goal. It might be some sin. Well, obviously it's some sin. You must flee from sin. You might have to flee from entertainment. You might have to flee from the television. You might have to flee from the computer. You might have to flee from some hobby. You might have to flee by rescheduling some things. There's some stuff in your life and my life that will get in the way of us becoming the person of God that God wants us to be. And if you're hearing me this morning, and if you will ponder on it and apply it, there's stuff you must flee from, or you'll never be able to become the person of God that you want to be. You may have to flee from some friends. You may have to flee from some people. You may have to flee from some activity. You may have to flee from some music. There's all kinds, whatever it is in your life that might hinder you. And God has a tendency of letting you know what those things are. You need to flee from them as if your spiritual life depended on it. Because while your salvation may not, you becoming the person God wants you to become depends upon it. We're not a cult. We're not telling you have to cut yourself from your family and cut yourself from all your friends. But we must flee from people who are like a boat anchor to our spiritual life. My wife and I got in church, and she got saved, and I got right with God. There were people in our life we had to cut loose because they were like a boat anchor spiritually. We had to flee from them. Doesn't mean we didn't love them. And we witnessed to them, trying to get them to get saved. We just hoped maybe they'd get saved and come along with us. But some chose not to, and we had to flee. So Paul says, if you want to be the person God wants you to be, then hear what I'm saying and listen and apply this in your life. You got to flee from some things in your life, like your spiritual life depended upon it. You know why a lot of God's people, or some of God's people, are stuck where they are? Because there's something in their life they won't flee from. There's something they won't turn loose of. They're not going to give up. And when the preacher gets up and says, you need to do this, it makes them angry and they won't listen or hear or apply. Because they think, who is he to tell me? Timothy said, if I've got to flee from it, I'll flee from it. And Timothy willingly received the instruction and says, it's got to go. Because being right with God is more important than my pride. And we're going to have to flee from some things. This is true of every one of us. I have fled from some things in my life. I find myself today fleeing from things in my life. I'm pretty confident the Lord tarries, I'll be fleeing from some things in my life. We have a tendency to pick up things that are not good for us spiritually. And hear what I'm saying and listen and apply it to your life if you want to be the person God wants you to. You're going to have to flee. You may have to flee from yourself. You say, well, how in the world is that possible? You may have to flee from your excuses and all the other junk that you make and just settle it once for all. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Flee from ignorant thinking. Flee from excuses. Flee from reasons. And just serve God and do what's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We may need to flee from a few things in our life. The average person hears this and they outline what they'll do and what they won't do and what they'll give up and what they won't give up. And they're not willing to flee from anything. Paul tells Timothy, you're going to have to flee. There are some who won't even, flee hell. If you're this morning, you're not saved. Friend, you need to flee from your sin and your condemnation and from your pride before it drags you down to hell.
That's right.
Amen. We got saved because we fled. Someone called, told me what a sinner I was. Man, I thought I'm going to flee from this nonsense and get saved. But the fleeing never stops after we get saved. We still have to flee if we're going to be right with Him and be the person we want to be. Amen?
Amen.
So listen to what I'm saying and hear me and apply this. If you want to be the person God wants you to be, you need to flee from stuff in your life. You say what? You probably know. If there's something you need to flee from, you know it. If Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever .net, .com thing there is that's sucking up all your time, you may need to flee from it so you have time to read God's Word. Amen. Secondly, he says, not only were they to hear, he says, if a man has ears to hear, then here's what God's Word says. He says, flee anything that gets in the way of living the life that God wants you to live. But then secondly, he says in verse 11, go on to follow. Flee and follow. He says, flee from anything that might hinder our walk. And then he says in verse 11, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, meekness, and love. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he repeats the same three headings. And there he uses other words. There are various things we ought to follow. And we could spend the whole day talking about what we're supposed to follow. But we're obviously supposed to flee from anything that gets in the way of becoming the person God wants us to be and to follow hard after everything that makes us the person God wants us to be. What's really interesting about these two words, flee and follow, is the Greek word from which we get the English word flee means to run away from a thing as if it is chasing you or pursuing you. The word follow comes from a Greek word that's a relative of the same word. And it means basically flee like your life depends upon it in the other direction. So in other words, the word flee means to run away from a thing as if your life depends on it. The word follow means to run toward a thing as if your life depends upon it. If I'm being pursued by a bear, I'm going to, I don't know why I've got bears on my mind, but if I'm being pursued by a bear, I'm going to flee from a bear as if my life depends upon it, and I'm going to flee toward safety as if my life depends upon it. And so what Paul tells Timothy, he says, if you're listening and you're hearing what I'm saying, you want to apply the Word of God, Paul says this, flee from anything that might hinder your walk with God and flee toward everything that might be a help to you. It shouldn't be a matter of, do we need to go to church?
No, we ought to flee to the house of God. Because it is there we're going to hear the word of God. It's going to help us make us the person of God God wants us to be. Instead, we sit around going, well, I don't think we got it. And you know, to be spiritual, and you just don't got it. Oh, shut up.
Amen.
You're not listening. And you are right now all you'll ever be. Because you are what you want to be. Now are we still friends? Listen, I'm not standing up here like I'm the spiritual giant of the world. I wrestle with the same things. There's things in my life I've got to cut loose and flee from. And I have to continually remind myself, if I want to be what God wants me to be, there's stuff in my life I've got to follow hard after.
Amen.
And I'm continually having to follow after righteousness, which simply means that which is right. Let me ask you something. Is it right to come to church?
Amen.
Anybody think it's wrong? Well, if it's right, then we ought to follow hard after it.
Right.
Because the man of God is there preaching the word of God to the people of God in the house of God. And if I want to be a person of God, I'll follow hard after that.
Right.
And I got to do what's right. You know, most if you're saved this morning, you pretty much already know what's right. That's the reason when it comes to things like church, we're always like, well, you know, I got it, and there's this, and if it wasn't for that, and it's just, you know, we mope around and act like we got all these, you know, we go out of our way, got to make sure everybody understands why I had a legitimate reason. It's because we already know what's right. When I got saved, I had to learn some things, and I had to learn some of the whys, but I pretty much already knew what I needed to do. You know, I didn't turn to my wife and say, you reckon we ought to start going to church? No, we just started going. We never even had the conversation. Was it because we're such spiritual giants? Well, of course. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't why. It's because we knew. We instantaneously knew there are some things in our life we were going to have to flee from now. We knew we were going to have to make some changes. It wasn't any secret to us. Nobody came along and said, you got to get rid of this, and you got to stop doing that, and you got to start hanging around with these people, and you can't go here anymore. Nobody had to tell us that. We just knew. Now, over time, we had to learn the whys of all of it, but we just knew. Because if you're saved, you pretty much know what you need to flee to.
Right. Amen.
You just won't. Well, if you had my... Oh, shut up. Just flee to it. And quit making excuses that nobody buys anyway.
Right.
And quit making excuses that nobody... You really think people believe it? Well, you know, we'd have been there, but it's just so bad. Nobody believes that. Now, do we sometimes get sick and can't come? Sure. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
Right.
He says, if you want to listen, if you want to hear and listen, apply, and become the person God wants you to, Paul says, you got to flee from some things in your life that gets in the way. And you got to follow, flee toward that which is right.
Amen.
See, some people think that because they fled, they're in good shape. Well, I don't do this anymore, and we don't do that anymore, and we don't go here anymore. Well, that's great. I'm glad you fled those things. But let me ask you now, what are you fleeing toward?
Right.
That's good.
Amen.
What are you fleeing? Well, I don't go drinking anymore. Well, great. I'm glad you don't. Because it's dumb. Not to mention sin. And it ruined your life. So I'm glad you haven't done that. But now what are you fleeing toward?
Right.
Isn't this where a lot of God's people are? They fled from some things. Now they're in neutral. Because they're not fleeing toward anything. And so they're stuck. Lastly, so we can quit. Before you get angry and quit listening. Lastly. Paul told Timothy to flee. And then he told Timothy to follow hard after some things. And in verse chapter 6 and verse 12, he told him to fight. Fight again. We just got back from men's recharge. Fight.
Amen.
Amen. Sounds good. Makes good preaching to get back from men's recharge. Fight. He says, we're to fight the good fight of faith. Should we go around picking fights? That's not what he's talking about, is it? He says, flee those things that hinder our walk with God. Flee toward those things that will be a help to the work of God. And then fight to become the person you want to be. Fight who? Fight the devil, because he's going to do everything within his power to drag you down and fill your head with excuses and reasons and whys. Just say, get away from me. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm going to claw my way to being what God wants me to be.
and fight for your children and fight for the, oh, listen, fight to be the man of God you want to be. Fight to be the woman of God you want to be. Fight to have the marriage you want. Fight to have the godly children you desire to have. Don't desire to have good kids. Desire to have godly kids and fight to be that.
Right.
How do you do that? By listening to the Word of God and applying it to your life and saying, we're going to make some changes. Nobody becomes the person that God wants them to be without the fight that goes with it. Because it's a fight. Well, you know, if those people there had my life, we all have your life. We've got the same nature, the same wicked, sinful nature, the same devil after us. And we get to where we are, not because it's easy, but because we have fought our way to where we are. And at every turn has been the devil throwing every temptation he can in our path. At every turn has been the devil throwing every option in our way. Every obstacle, every distraction. And we've got past them because we have fought our way past them with his help. We come to the house of God every opportunity and we hear the preaching and we listen to the word of God and we apply it to our life. And we determine we're going to flee some things. We're going to flee to some things. And we're going to fight. And when we fight, sometimes we fail. But we get up and we fight again. Amen? Amen. And we fight again, and we fight again, and we fight again. And we determine I am not going to be defeated. I'm tired of being whiny and making excuses and reasons. This is what I want to be. I'm going to fight to be it. Would God, some God's people would fight to be what God wants them to be? As hard as they fight for their career.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Would to God, some of God's people would take discipleship classes and pursue that as hard as they pursue studying for their next rank. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with advancing. We as God's people ought to be the best at everything we do.
Right.
But we ought to be the best at being His people.
Amen.
And it ought not be the secondary thing we do once we finish our college classes, and once we finish our career path, and once we get past our next rank exam, once we get past all that, then, no. It ought to be Him we're fleeing to and following first. And with what time God gives us left over, pursue these other things. Amen? Because if you don't, listen, you'll be the best staff, the best tech, the best master sergeant in the Air Force, but you won't be any better for God than you were yesterday or last year. You'll be the best guy on base, the best guy in your shop, the best person in your civilian job, but you won't be the godly father or godly mother or have a godly home God wants you to have. Listen this morning. Are you listening?
Amen.
Here's the question. Are you hearing? We got to hear and apply. This book is of no value, though it is the very words of God, unless it's heard, pondered, and applied. If you're here this morning, you're saved. I know that none of us can say this because none of us have arrived. I know that ultimately none of us can say, I am the man God wants me to be. There's no room for improvement. None of us can say that. But we can say this. Generally, I am the person God wants me to be. I am the vital part of the ministry that God wants me to be. And I'm serving God in Calvary Baptist Church, and I'm serving the Lord, and we're going forward. And if you can't say that this morning, then you need to listen. Stop making excuses and listen to the Word of God and flee whatever it is that's hindering you. Flee toward what you already know you need to do. And it's going to get ugly. But you just fight and fight and fight and fight until you get victory over it. And lo and behold, victory after victory, you'll become the person God wants you to be. Amen? Oh, come on, amen?
Amen.
You'll fight one thing, get victory over that, fight another, and fight another, and fight another, but you'll become what God wants you to be. If here this morning you're not saved, you know Christ is your Savior? Man, have I got good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins. We'd love to take a Bible and show you out of the Scriptures how you can know Him as your Savior. Because you'll never be the person He wants you to be until you first come to know Him through salvation. And when you get saved, God puts within you the desire to serve Him, gives you the equipment to be the person He wants you to be. So if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, when the piano begins to play, come forward. We'll take a Bible. Take here in the back room. Someone will show you the Scriptures, how you can be saved. If at any time you say no thanks, it's over. But they'd love to show you.
And you can choose whether you want to receive him as your Savior or not. Flee from hell and flee unto the Savior this morning. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. But I've got to say, I'm not what God would have me to be. I'm not faithful like he'd have me to be. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And I know it because he's been wearing me out." Then stop making excuses and start fleeing from some stuff in your life. Maybe you need to come this morning and say, "You know, there's this person in my life. I love them, but they are not good for me spiritually. There's this thing, this opportunity, this activity. It's just not, I got to flee from that." Maybe you just need to come and say, I'm just lazy, not dedicated. I got to flee from myself. And why don't you turn this morning and start fleeing toward that which is right? We're going to be here when the Word of God's preached because we need it. And my children need it. And our marriage needs it. And we're going to start fleeing toward what's right. And determine this morning that, you know what, I'm just going to fight and we're going to stay in there. Well, preacher, I've done that over and over. Well, stay in the fight. And determine I'm going to fight until we get victory. And lo and behold, one day people look around and say, "You know what? I don't know what this church would do without him." Well, I wonder how different our church would be if it weren't for those folks. That's the person we ought to strive to be.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me?